For the past 5 weeks, we've been trying to translate sights and sounds into the language of poetry.
Now we're in Tunisia, still carefully crafting metaphors to transform the mundane into the miraculous. But sometimes the metaphors are the raw images themselves, and the greatest poems are already written long before pens touch paper. I could have searched the catacombs of stanza and verse for literary relics buried in the pages of history's greatest wordsmiths, and would never have discovered as flawless an example of irony as a room full of laborers on hunger strike, folding food into my palms like prayers as we parted ways. I was so ashamed that all I could offer them were blessings to fill the empty temples in their bellies. They told us of their incarceration during the last regime. Political prisoners jailed for demanding wages worthy of feeding their families. They spoke to our camera with voices as faint as cries for justice in government prison cells, where they watched wrinkles form where dimples used to dance. Now they are still doing time, waiting for their records to be cleared so they can find work again.
Sometimes the most eloquent speeches are delivered in body language by children who are still learning to speak. Like the little boy who kept stepping in front of our camera with giggles. Reminding us that there are stories to be told here beyond the interviews. Like how he and his toddler siblings were still learning to navigate in a world that isn't quite ready for them, while their faces shine as if solar flares have been planted into their skin. Their innocence is blinding. And their father's vision for them is even brighter. He spoke to us outside the family of five's home, or rather it was a single room, that everyone fit into by squeezing their satisfaction inside it. I'm sure he left any possible complaints in there, because he never even mentioned his poverty during the interview. This man read his thoughts like poems, and said if you don't know hunger, you can't speak about it. And if you don't know freedom, then it's like you were born without a mom. So I hope his children might have two mothers one day.
Yes, sometimes the best poems are already written, and sometimes pens are not the weapon used to write them. Like the wooden club brandished by the side of a Tunisian cop, thicker than a Louisville slugger, with a grip that reeks of the scent which sweats from clinging to orders too tightly. It screams for the days of the old regime, with splintered teeth and a rotten tongue. Stand and watch the policeman ride by on his motorcycle, bludgeon baton in his palms, and I know. And my foreign passport is an immunity card here, but I wonder. How many stories will it leave on the flesh of his fellow Tunisians? Poems of resilience and struggle tattooed and beaten into the consciousness of a people.
It's hard to make ink do that.
And it's tough to think outside the bruised box and look Tunisia's future square in the face.
We've only spent a week here so far, but hope the coming days have enough space for healing.
Because honestly, the path ahead seems long and the people are tired of waiting as they chant in the streets, "Ash'ab yurid, athoura min jadid."
The people demand a new revolution.